Next trip is the 335th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Arnold. Yeah.
Oh, you're Chris.
That explains the hairline. Yeah, I am Chris.
You're Chris. Yeah, no Arnold today. Mm-mm. No, I know. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're watching us live, we very much appreciate that. Log into your YouTube account. That way you could chat along with us in the live chat right here. I'll see you as you comment along, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. So feel free to say hi, ask us questions, talk shit, fact check us, whatever. I'll see it. I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You're catching us on the replay. Cool. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or just leave a comment down below. We also have Instagram and a Twitter that we sometimes use and, you know, whatever.
It's been a while, man. How you been?
I'm good. Yeah. How are you, sir? I know why you're a little eh.
Why?
You got beat out for tickets for AEW, right?
Man, we're going low blow quick tonight, huh? Typical typical HWR fashion. Yeah, I guess we'll start with that this time.
All right. Go low, but you can't always go lower.
Can't win them all. Yeah, it's Ricochet that.
God damn.
Can't win them all, man. AEW, they're official show, for their yearly show, their WrestleMania, if you will. All out, sold out in 15 minutes.
And that's going to be their WrestleMania?
It's their second show. Well, it's technically their – I'd call it their first – their second time there, because it's the second time they go back to Chicago. The first time was like the beta. It was all in. It wasn't officially an AEW-labeled show.
I would think all in would wind up being the WrestleMania of AEW at some point. I don't know. It might be too soon to say either way if all in, all out, or double or nothing is.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Sold out their seats in 15 minutes. The Sears Center has this weird ticketing option on the website.
Okay.
So it has like this little dude that like crawls to the side like you're in line and you're just waiting to get to the very other end of the screen so that it's time for you to buy tickets. I got in the room 2 minutes before the tickets went on sale, Friday at 11 a.m. Central Time. I was chosen at random, whatever spot I was in, and I was 10,000th in line.
Ooh.
10,000 times two? Nah. But I had those doubts during Double or Nothing, and I somehow got tickets. I had those doubts all in last year. I still ended up getting tickets.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too dejected, you know, but 30 minutes in, the line officially closed. Then I check all the internets, and yeah, it took half that time.
Wow.
For tickets to sell out. So they gone.
Damn.
Gone. All gone.
Poor guy.
Can't win them all.
Wah, wah.
However,
ooh,
a little tidbit that I did not know until I did some investigating later on.
Mm.
At one point, there was over 60,000 people waiting in that virtual line to get tickets.
60,000?
60,000 people were in line to get tickets for All Out.
Wow.
Which begs the question. They were challenged to doing their first ever independent pay-per-view.
Yeah.
They were challenged to do the brand.
Yeah.
What if we were to say someone were to issue the challenge of selling out a stadium? 70,000, 50,000 people in line.
Yeah.
You would think at least half of them aren't buying just one ticket.
Right.
You think it's possible they could sell out a stadium?
So 50,000 people in line, half of them are buying more than one ticket. So that's like, what, 75,000? Yeah, you could probably sell out a stadium. I mean, shit, WrestleMania attendance is always like 90,000, right? 80, 90,000. Well, maybe a little bit less. Maybe like 70, 80.
Yes, Hogan. 130,000 people, yeah, brother.
Yeah. I mean, when they're doing pay-per-views at like the Toyota Center, that's like what, 13, 14?
With all the seats, yeah.
13,000?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they could probably do it. Hector, what up, man? Welcome to the live chat.
We're going to have to talk to you a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Better get ready.
I think at this point, if AEW decides, not so much, maybe it's Chicago. Well, I'll take that back. If they decide that that's the annual event, like they're Bound for Glory, their final battle, their WrestleMania, their takeover. If they decide that year, every year, Labor Day weekend or the Saturday before Labor Day, whether it's New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Dallas, we're holding it in a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fan base is rabid enough at this point that they'll follow. Probably so. Obviously, except it's A and B right here.
Right.
You know, if it's a place where I can spend the weekend and actually enjoy myself there, even if it doesn't involve wrestling, I'll make the effort to go if I know it's a good show.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, last year for All In, the only thing that they announced was, I think it was Cody versus Nick Aldis for the NWA. That was the only match they announced.
Yeah.
And that place sold out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
This year, they announced two matches. Hangman Page versus Chris Jericho for the first ever AEW championship.
Okay.
And Jon Moxley against Kenny Omega.
Okay.
So maybe if it's can they have matches like that every year to build up to? Because at some point, just like the Royal Rumble, you're going to run out of surprise participants. It's going to just be what you expect.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's when you need to start building your own motherfuckers, creating your own stars, which is something that, you know, AEW right now has a semi-solid foundation because, you know, you got your Omegas that were built elsewhere. You got your Jerichos and your Moxleys that were built elsewhere. Same with the Bucks. Same with the Lucha Brothers. They were built elsewhere. But you got some guys that could potentially...
And girls.
You got some
awesome
guys.
Awesome Kong. She was made elsewhere. But then you got
Smiley Kylie, you know? And then you got MJF, you know? To a certain extent, Joey Janela, mm-hmm. you know? You got certain people that were indie only. Now they're in AEW. If you start building these guys up, then all right, cool. Like, there's already that little tweef between Jericho and
MJF. Yeah, he loves kill violence.
Okay, yeah. I'm down. Yeah, let's build these guys. Build them up because people are going to come for the Moxleys. They're going to come for the Omegas. But are they going to stay for MJF, for Joey Janela, for fucking Orange Hangman. Cassidy, Hangman, you know, Smiley Kylie, Nyla Rose? You know, are they going to stay for all them? Maybe. Exolicious, or no? What? He's not Exolicious. There was
Sunny Kiss.
Yeah. Hector says, "Did you guys hear the Tony Khan interview with Stone Cold?" I did not.
I didn't know it was already available, so I will be listening to that sometime this weekend.
Okay,
hopefully.
Okay. Porsche says more Orange Cassidy. they're planning to travel the United States and some out of the country too. If they're gonna go big, it will happen in Jacksonville or Europe. I guess he's talking about the stadium thing.
The stadium thing, if it happens big, it is not going to happen in Jacksonville. I heard they have a wonderful TGI Fridays, wink, wink. But other than that, there isn't anything in Jacksonville. Fight for the Fallen, that's an event that they're doing. I think it's during a Madden tournament that they're having in Jacksonville, and it's a charity event of sorts for the shooting that happened last year during the Madden tournament there.
Right.
It's an AEW event. It's been AEW marketed. It's at a pavilion where that's connected to the stadium where the Jaguars play that Tony Khan owns. And there's still a few tickets, but that was never been labeled a sellout to the point that they bragged about it like Double or Nothing, or they bragged about it like All In, or they bragged about it like All Out. So just like the New Japan example, when they first came to Long Beach, that right. sold out in 20 minutes. They went back 6 months later, and about 30% of the place was empty. You know, and then they did the Cow Palace in San Francisco. It looked nice. It was an awesome event. But just like the show in Dallas so far for New Japan, the top section was tapered off, and some of the hard camera section was tapered off also. So right now, maybe it's a one-off event. You know, Fyter Fest, I think it's sold out, and that's happening in a couple of weeks. But as a like a tourist destination, you know, like when WWE wants to do a WrestleMania, they look at everything. They need to have a nice convention center to do access. They have to have all these other ancillary licenses and agreements with like schools and other places where they could actually market the product.
They need to have infrastructure.
Yeah, you know? I've never heard friends or family or coworkers say, "Bruh, you got to spend a weekend in fucking Jacksonville." In Florida, there's at least a half dozen other places that you would want to go to. And right off the bat,
like Miami,
Destin, Panama City Beach,
okay,
Miami, Orlando, Tampa,
yeah,
the Keys,
okay.
That's why I said half a dozen, because that's exactly. All right, but yeah, Jacksonville, nah,
yeah,
big cities, LA, dude, LA, people from LA, San Francisco, Vegas, San Diego, fucking Tijuana, London. Everybody from the West Coast will go to that stadium, you know?
Robert, welcome.
What's up?
Medlin.
Ah!
Says Houston's a solid transitional wrestling town. I could see them having a show here sooner rather than later.
Depends where.
Wait, he said Houston.
No, where in Houston?
Oh, like, not Texas City. Don't go down to the World Gym Arena, Booker T's fucking, like, do it in Houston, goddammit.
Yeah.
Which I think that's next weekend?
Two weekends.
Impact and ROW are doing their little,
yeah.
They're calling it Deep Impact. Aye.
So far they've got Brian Cage, Jordan Grace. Tessa's going to be here in the building. And so far, Brian Keith is the only ROW guy on my Facebook feed that I've seen.
Okay.
That's going to be, but they're yeah. So that's happening. That's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which I can't make, which is because that's the same day as the New Japan G1 Climax in Dallas.
It's the same day?
Same day.
Son of a bitch! Booker, what are you thinking? Yep.
Well, it works for them tour-wise because the next day and Sunday, uh-huh. Slammiversary is in Dallas. So they're all most of the town's going to be in town anyway. So logistically, it works.
Wait, hold on.
We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Okay. That might be another reason why the tickets in New Japan haven't been selling as well as they thought.
Yeah.
Because in that week, 7-day span, Monday, Raw is going to be airing live from Dallas. Saturday, first ever G1 Climax in the United States.
Yeah.
Sunday, Impact Achilles. Which might not be a lot of competition, but that's a lot of wrestling, man.
Porsche is Scarlett gone. What do you mean Scarlett gone?
Talk about that. We're saving that for the end of the show.
She's gone from Impact? Oh, shit. Okay.
We'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Let's see. Speaking of wrestling. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Alberto Del Rio in general?
Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Why? What,
he
why?
He was meh in the WWE.
Yeah. At best, he was...
He was meh in Lucha Underground.
At best, he was,
He was meh in the Mexican restaurant business.
At best, he was like,
Now he's the head guy, the main talent in a promotion called Nacion Lucha Libre. So there's another wrestling promotion based out of Mexico.
Mexico City?
Yeah. So here's the roster so far. Here's like heavy hitters.
All right.
Del Rio, Pentagon, Phoenix. MVP, Macias.
Okay.
Chavo, Sexy Star.
Okay.
Bram. You remember Bram?
I remember Bram.
Okay. Yeah, Bram.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting lineup.
More wrestling is good wrestling, right? Yeah, whether you watch it or not, somebody is.
Somebody's watching it, yeah. I mean, are they pulling 15 borrachos, you know, and performing in a bar, or is this going to be televised? Are they actual competition for CMLL and AAA? Are they? Okay. Thanks for bringing it up then. We don't know anything about it. I mean, I'm sure the Lucha Brothers didn't sign an exclusive deal to this place.
Well, hell no.
You know, but, I mean, if they were doing that, exclusive deals,
I want to talk about your one of your favorite matches that happened over the weekend that we didn't get to talk about because we took a break. Undertaker versus Goldberg, Saudi Arabia, Super Showdown.
Why? All right. So I watched this after all the hullabaloo, everybody talking about it, right? I didn't watch it the same day. It aired Friday. I think I watched it Sunday night. Okay, so spoilers are plenty. I did happen to manage to miss enough of what actually happened in the match to just know that it wasn't good. Now, I didn't know if it, like, wasn't good because of the booking or the storyline or did, like, oh, jackhammer spear, 1, 2, 3, you know, in 10 seconds, or was it bad because of what happened? So I went into it not really knowing what to expect, all of knowing that just, like, a lot of people pissed off about it, and that's it. So,
and a lot of wrestlers,
a lot of people were
pissed off at fans that were pissed off at them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have as visceral of a reaction as the internet seemed to have had to the match. I thought, okay, this is going a little bit longer than I would have expected. Ooh, that's a sloppy spot. Oh, that's a sloppy spot. Oh, that's another sloppy spot. I see what they're kind of trying to do. Okay, whatever. And then that's it. Like, people were making it sound like this is the worst thing to ever happen to wrestling. Like, when I was hearing about this match, I heard people saying that this was on the level of Sting versus Jeff Hardy when they didn't even have a match. Like, that's how bad I thought it was going to be.
That's bad.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It was a match that happened, and there were some sloppy spots, and that's it. Two old guys, and that, you know, like, okay. I almost kind of want to say, I told you so. Undertaker should have been not wrestling for the longest time. Goldberg, I said, shouldn't be wrestling until he beat the shit out of Brock. I had a little bit of egg on my face then, but then I was still saying before it, I don't know if I want to see Goldberg anymore. And then Goldberg and Brock happened. Everybody was like, you were wrong. And I was like, okay, yeah, I was wrong. But I'm still not sure if I want to see any more Goldberg from here on.
Yeah.
You know, and told you so. That's right. You know, but was it an atrocity to wrestling? No, it was a sloppy match. And, like, that's it.
There's a point of view that I think the fans are coming from that a lot of the wrestlers that are butthurt about it haven't noticed or don't want to acknowledge. You know, I've been listening. You heard some snippets before we went on the air. I've been listening to a lot of Busted Open lately, podcast on SiriusXM through iTunes. And yeah, the wrestlers are coming to the defense. It's like, yeah, you don't know what it's like because you don't even, like, you live in your mom's basement, you don't work out, you don't do shit, and you don't have the right to judge wrestlers on what they do because you're not. I was like, I get it, fine. A couple of chops and a couple of slams in a fantasy camp doesn't make me anywhere near to try to pick on the wrestler's feelings as far as their opinions go. But there's a point of view that needs to be addressed that I haven't heard anyone address yet.
Okay.
And that point of view is from a guy that, for example, you and I don't know if you still do, but I paid $9.99 a month to watch this product.
Ah.
So when this product is telling me we're going to give you an event that's the equivalent or better than WrestleMania, you better fucking live up to that shit. And your decision is to put these two guys at the end of the show in 3-digit degree heat that have never worked together and expect us
and
to not
– and our past their prime.
And they're expecting us not to have the reaction that we do when we see that happen.
Mm.
There's matches like that where I promise you 99% of the heat – wouldn't have been as bad if this was like two matches before the end. If we ended the pay-per-view with Kofi versus Dolph,
okay,
they would have glossed over. People would have, like, gotten over it within a day. You know, if
maybe less than that.
In the middle of the show, they had this. you know, so that everybody has their moment to appreciate the entrances and the aura and the mystique of both guys separately and then together. But you're advertising that this is better than WrestleMania, and you're putting them at the end. And they have what they had. There, as a paying customer, I do have a right to complain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or at least voice an opinion on it. Going as far as saying it's the worst thing since Sting versus Jeff Hardy? No. Going as far as saying these two guys should never wrestle again? You have your opinions on Undertaker. You've had them
for a long time.
7 years at least.
Yeah.
Goldberg, I don't know how long. Hell, if Goldberg comes back to put over Bobby Lashley or Braun Strowman or somebody else instead of legend versus legend, you know, I could accept, I could understand. But the way they pushed the whole thing, it felt like there was failure written all over it from the beginning before they even touched down.
Gotcha.
And this is nothing about the Saudi politics. This isn't about going overseas. This isn't about putting money over women. Just in the microcosm of this is supposed to be as good or better than Mania. This is what we're going to give you, and this is what we got. You know, just like that, you're setting yourself up. You're putting yourself up pretty high. And the higher you are, the farther you're going to fall.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And then for wrestlers to come to say, yeah, man, but you got to give Goldberg respect because he busted himself open a minute and a half and he knocked himself loopy and he didn't. And he could have easily just walked out and said, nah, brother, I'm not doing this. I'm not feeling good. And they continued the match. I was like, you know what? I've said this lately a lot on this episode, on the show. Wrestling fans ask for a lot. And now I'm asking for to put themselves ahead of us. You know, I don't want to see Misawa again. I don't want to see Perro Aguayo again. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see Ramses again. You know, if you can't go, you're not
Ramses just, wasn't his name, but okay.
You're not only endangering yourself, you're endangering your partner.
Yeah.
If you couldn't go, I would completely understand if you would have just stopped it, had a quick finish, and just gone on with it. And again, even if this happened an hour before the main event, people wouldn't have been upset.
We're asking for more, but technically, we're still asking for less. I don't want to see more of Taker, more of Goldberg if they can't go. Know what you have. Know who you are working with. Know what their limitations still are. And if you're fucking 50 years old, this is a young man's game. As much as I want to sit here.
Quick man's game.
Yeah, as much as I want to sit here and see Bret Hart keep going forever and ever because I'm a fucking love Bret Hart. And as much as like some other guys love fucking HBK and they want to see say, eventually they need to hang up their boots. Eventually Jordan needs to tie up the sneakers. Jordan, man, that last season.
He can't come back with a third number and try again.
That last season when he was number 45, bruh.
In the Wizards.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. But is Jordan still the GOAT?
Hell yeah.
Jordan's still the GOAT. Despite season 45, he's still the GOAT. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what, The Undertaker's the worst fucking wrestler ever to live. No,
regardless,
he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Goldberg deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. They had great fucking careers. They deserve a lot of respect. But
even
let them stop when they're done.
Even if you take your bias out of the way,
yeah.
If you're live in the audience and you see Undertaker's entrance, you still bark the fuck out for that shit.
Robert Mendlin, dude, Ricky Morton's still doing Hurricane Ranas and he's in his 50s.
Hey, but you put him in the Raw or SmackDown tag team division, they can still go.
I don't know. They can.
I've seen
some. I don't know. They can.
Google some of the recent NWA stuff, man.
All right.
They know. I think they've been around long enough and through all the different eras of wrestling, they know when to hang it up,
Can I, man? I don't think that we intended for this to be a Saudi review episode, but
we'll make it quick. There's a couple of
there's something I definitely want to talk about, but this is kind of tying a whole loose end together. So I could save it for the end of the Saudi talk.
No,
do you have more Saudi talk?
As far as Goldberg Taker, that's it, dude. And that the tombstone spot.
Ugh. Yeah.
Tombstone the jackhammer. Ugh.
The knee bar. Ugh.
Well, then go.
No, it was ugly, man.
It was
trying to get that knee bar on when he didn't know how to put it on there, rolling,
rolling over.
That's my ankle. He's my ankle.
He fucking teabagged him in the process. Like, no, man, that was bad. Yeah. It was sloppy. But that's all it was. It was sloppy. You know, yeah. I didn't feel like this was the fucking abomination to end all of wrestling. Like,
Saudi, I have one more thing about Saudi I could mention, but you go.
No. My thing, I want to wrap up
because is it negative?
No.
Okay, because it might be what I want to talk about.
Really? All right, go, and I'll let you know if it's the same thing.
Because for all the shit that they've gotten for this third Saudi episode that they've done, as a wrestling fan, watching it as it happened, I see why they're giving their wrestling fans the opportunity to be there. Don't tell me that.
Okay.
We're
kind of on the same
page.
Don't
tell me that you didn't mark the fuck out when Mansoor won that 50-man battle royal. I marked the fuck out for that shit,
I
man.
Actually marked out for
that
too.
That was our version of Randy and Elizabeth's wedding. That's our version of fucking the Daniel Bryan coming back from fucking – dude.
It was shameless pandering to the Saudi audience. It was.
But it worked.
It worked.
It fucking worked. And for people that are dogging
I want to see more Mansoor.
And I even said this before. For people that didn't know who Mansoor was, about 2 months ago, my match of the week pick was Donovan Dijakovic against Mansoor from NXT. And I was like, all right, this kid's got something. If the plan is to at least have one star, then this thing would have been worth it.
You know what?
And so far, in that moment, as of right now, I haven't seen any NXT. They've taped stuff for weeks in advance. I've forgotten the spoilers already. Obviously, he's not on Raw or SmackDown. But if they continue this or they do something with this, for now, if they never go back to Saudi again, that's a win. Because, dude, I marked out just like those fucking kids, man. When Eddie won the title at No Way Out, man, that was their fucking – Ron Simmons winning in WCW and all the kids and everybody crying in the front row. That was for them, dude. It's wrestling – even though the biggest critics of wrestling is always going to be wrestling fans, wrestling is a universal language. That same story, if it was a Mexican in Mexico, if it was a Russian in Russia, if it was a Japanese wrestler in Japan that had that moment, every audience that they were in front of would have had that same emotion. And it felt good to have that payoff, cool. At least for me. So, I hope they do something with it,
bro,
but I fucking loved it, man.
My thing that I want to bring to the table is kind of related to that, and it is a positive thing. For all of the shit, and I sat here 4 weeks ago, and we were talking about what's the worst deal, the Saudi deal or the Fox deal. I said the Saudi deal. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of the optics of it. It looks bad. You're in bed with the Saudis, and you're just taking their money, and you're selling your soul to, you know, this tyrannical government and all this and that, right? Like, oh, man, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. Watching the show, this particular one, turned me around 180 degrees on this. And I think I know what it was. I think I know what the Jedi mind trick was.
I didn't see the whole thing, so fill me in on what
the Jedi mind trick that they did to me this time was that they got rid of those luxury seats with a bunch of nobles sitting there very disinterested. No, they had regular fucking stadium seating, the little fold-out little chairs that you could take home when you get in the first
one. And they had actual fans there that wanted to be there.
Actual fucking people that were wearing the fucking t-shirts, that were cheering, that were reacting, that were emoting, that were chanting along.
The You Deserve It chant for Mansoor. Yes. We didn't get any of that shit the first two times.
Not even Mansoor. Like, that too, right? Yeah. But chanting the appropriate chants for other wrestlers that, like, oh shit, this is far reaching across the globe because they know when to say this certain type thing when this is happening. You know, like they were chanting along the right way, and it made me forget about the powers that be. It made me forget about Vince money hungry going with the president of Iran who's beheading fucking journalists. And it's like that kid in the front row.
Only one so far.
Yeah. That kid in the front row. Mm-hmm. Who like has a New Day shirt and is cheering for Kofi and is going New Day rocks? That's what it's about, man. And yeah, sure, okay, it might be dirty fucking blood money. All right, great, it's blood money. What am I gonna do with that? I can't do anything about it except bitch about it. But am I happy for that one Saudi kid that got to see the show?
Who that cheers for the black guy.
That cheers for the black guy. That is, the Middle Eastern kid who cheers for the fucking black guy that has pancakes and throwing stuff out and has the t-shirt and chanting along in the correct way. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it right now because I defend wrestling. And I have defended wrestling as it being a medium for a lot of stuff for to expand people's minds. I've always said this, that when I was a little kid, a lot of like the ingrained bigotry and xenophobia that could have lived inside me, that doesn't live inside me, got extinguished because of WWF. World Wrestling Federation. We got the guy from Mexico, Tito Santana. He's a face. Yeah, we got the guy from Canada, the Mountie. He's a heel. But we have these other dudes from Canada, the Heart Foundation. They're faces. These are good guys. It doesn't British matter. Bulldog. It doesn't matter where you're from. British Bulldog. He's a good guy.
Hakushi.
Yeah. Mr. Fuji. The fucking, not, what's his name? The guy that went on to being a murderer. Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Ah, he's from fucking Fiji. Where's Fiji? I don't know, but he's a good guy. Anybody can be a good guy or a bad guy. Doesn't matter where you're from. So you know what? Mansoor, he might be from fucking Saudi Arabia. Oh my God, Saudi Arabia is such a bad, terrible government. But it doesn't necessarily mean their people are like that. And Mansoor is a good dude, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's...
Well, he tied with Brennan, so we got to give him
credit. Okay, there you go. So, yeah, man, it's about the folks. It's about the people. It's about those kids. It's about those families. About all of them connecting together with something that I love. So a Mexican who lives in the United States can probably speak the same language. And I'm not talking about English. I'm talking about the language of wrestling with the dude on the other side of the country who lives in an oppressed, tyrannical country. Mm-hmm. Probably like the same reason how at one point Japan was bitter rivals with the United States. But right now, if I meet a dude from Japan, I'm like, what's up, Nakamura? Hey, oh my God. Japan, cool. You ever been in Tokyo though? No? What's it like? Oh my God. Oh, do you need a Ribera? Holy shit. Like, I will start talking wrestling with the guy. I don't give a goddamn about us. You know, bombing the fucking
off the top.
You know, fucking Hiroshima and all that shit. That wasn't me. That was my government 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't have beef with you because you're a wrestling fan. I don't care where the fuck you're from.
I hope they build
rant on over.
I don't even think that's a rant. I hope they built on the equity because they tried something that almost worked. It's like you try to like finger the ass a little bit, see if you can put the whole thing in. It's like we're gonna take Natty and Alexa with us.
Just in case
just in case they kind of want to like play around with a toy just to try it first. And they fail. But you have to play to their strengths and you have to mess with their minds.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Write this down, Vince. Send me the check. I would like the next Saudi show's main event to be a match that Saudi fans, like the government, that they want to bring back all these legends, people from the Attitude Era. How fucking ironic would it be if the next main event in Jeddah or in Riyadh or anywhere else in Saudi Arabia was Trish Stratus against Lita? You want to talk women trailblazing for this generation, for this generation of women's wrestlers and women wrestling fans? That's how you get the ball rolling. You advertise them as legends that were mainstays in the Attitude Era that paved the way for a whole division. And you're talking about wanting to bring in 2020 or 2030, whatever the initiative is, where by this time – everyone's going to be equal. Everyone's weight is going to be worth the same, no matter what man or woman. You give them Trish versus Lita to main event that pay-per-view, that breaks down all the doors, dude. All of them.
That could.
And I think that would be whatever eases whatever tension on the business side about WWE taking blood money.
Possibly. Because governments don't change from the top down. Governments change from the bottom up. Right? Exactly. And you're trying to tell me that all those fucking kids that were there, that they're going to grow up and have the exact same staunch views that maybe their parents have? Mm-hmm. No, this probably expanded their mind. And you're also trying to tell me that They know Kofi's chants. They know New Day rocks. They know all the stuff about
they
all
go like this else. Too.
They know all that stuff, but they don't watch Alexa versus Bayley. No, bitch, they're watching that too on the fucking network. Yeah. So, okay, they may not be able to have it because their government says that they can't have the women's wrestling, but they was watching the main event of WrestleMania. They was. They was. So these folks, the younger folks, the actual wrestling fans, even the guys our age that are the actual wrestling fans. There was one fat guy that was there that was just fucking jumping up and down in the middle of that. Like, he was fucking hilarious, but he was a mark. Yeah. He was a mark like me or you. So you're telling me once the generation starts going over and this and that, because look, you can put the shoe on the other foot. You can have something really badass in, I don't know, some other country, you know, let's say a Middle East country, something really badass that's a nice piece of art. Me and you, we like it. We're fucking, you know, into it, like some sort of weird, I don't know, Middle Eastern anime, right? Let's just say that, right? Some weird ass Middle Eastern anime. And they come over here and they're like, man, I don't know if we should go over to the United States, man. Their president is kind of weird. He says some fucked up shit about our government. They're putting tariffs on our people. They're doing this and that. They're threatening to fucking nuke everybody. Man, their president is fucking crazy guy. You know what? Fuck the United States. We're not going to go over there.
Hey, what do we do?
What did I fucking do? I didn't do anything. I like your fucking art. Bring your art to me, man. I'll give you my money for my art. Well, no, the money actually goes to the government, and when the government has this and that. Okay. Fuck them. They're going to do their stupid fucked up shit that I disagree with, but there's nothing that I could do so that will affect that other than me connecting with you on a level here, you know? And that's where kind of where I feel that. This is where I am with this. This is about us as wrestling fans connecting with other wrestling fans across the world.
Wherever they are.
And this culture is going to eventually, maybe it'll take generations. It might be generations, but maybe that change will happen at some point, you know? I don't know. Damn.
Chances are we're not going to have that kind of raving review for Stomping Ground. But we'll give it a chance anyway.
You know what? And this isn't based on, oh, my God, the wrestling was great. It wasn't. It was your typical WWE show.
It was a house show. That was a house show. Not WrestleMania.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 9 was better than fucking Super Showdown.
Notice we're not talking about the matches individually. Yeah. The matches individually, they were... except for one that was super bad, which was
you know why? Because these matches that we had 2 weeks ago, we're probably going to have them right now.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk about them right now.
I thought the show was a solid B until the main event. The main event made it a C.
Yeah.
Or maybe even fucking D. You know, the main event was terrible. But everything else was okay as far as the wrestling goes. But it was nice having Pyro.
Give me a match from Stomping Ground that you want to see the most. Appointment viewing, per se. I have to watch this match from Stomping Ground.
I had one, but I don't remember the card.
Which is telling. Number one, we've only had 2 weeks build. And number two, you must not care about the match enough to remember it since we've only had Raw and SmackDown 2 days ago.
The United States is on the visitor danger list. Okay. What? Okay. Bring back Ivory with the right to censor gimmick.
Oh, shit.
That'd be the perfect way to abolish that. Make a statement. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to catch up.
My anticipation for Samoa Joe against Ricochet is at a 10.
Okay.
That's the only 10 you're going to get from me, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
All right. Why?
You have an indie wrestler like Samoa Joe and an indie wrestler like Ricochet get in the ring together, no matter what guise you put it under.
Yeah.
Whether it's Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, fucking DDT, doesn't matter. It's you have my money.
Those two guys are going to put on
a
show.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a 10. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't need to be sold on this. It's a 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm at like a 9. It could be higher if it wasn't for a couple of things. The first one is Ricochet just qualified for this the week of through a multi-man match.
Through an elimination match that the other people were already eliminating themselves out.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, he's not really a deserving contender, and you don't have enough story there. So I think it's going to be pretty obvious that just based on that, Joe's going to win.
But I could be tricked. I could sit here and think, all right, you know what? Maybe Ricochet is going to win this and WWE's going to surprise me. So maybe that would bump me up from a 9 to a 9.5. But now that's gone. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's gone is because of the fucking tragic ass shit that's going on with Ricochet that's gone down over the last day or two, which is this whole stuff about this video of him checking his own oil, right? Which, hey, man, I mean, if, you know, it happened where, you know, we were playing Cards Against Humanity, and one of the prompts on the Cards Against Humanity was, you know, if blank is good enough for blank, then it's good enough for me. And the two cards that we wound up pulling that worked is, if a finger in the butt is good enough for Kanye West, it's good enough for me. And I took a picture of it and I posted it. I posted it. But you know what? Fuck that finger in the booty ass bitch. Jesus, all right? We're talking about if a finger in the butt is good enough for Ricochet, it's good enough for me. I'm there. I said it. I'm not said it. All right? If it's good enough for
Ricochet, I haven't seen the video.
I haven't seen the video.
I don't know what the context of it is. Is this him masturbating? Is this him checking his prostate? Is this him wondering if he, like crapped his pants? If he, like, sharted or just farted? Like, I don't know what it is. I don't want to know.
I haven't seen the video, but from what it was described is that, like, he's having a good time.
I'm at the age.
You know what? Fine. I don't care. Do what you want to do, man. If you want to be freaky, you get freaky. That ain't even the freakiest shit I ever seen a wrestler do on a leaked fucking video. So you know what? He's checking his own oil. Please go ahead, experiment, have fun. You know why not? I don't lose any respect for Ricochet of that. What I lose respect for is the fact that, goddamn, more people are invading motherfuckers' privacies now, and now they're going to the actual wrestlers themselves. And like,
it's 2019. We have to redefine the term privacy. If you don't want anyone to know what you're thinking, don't say it. Want anyone to see what you're doing, don't do it.
Yeah, but come on. That's like saying, like, oh, well, you should have seen the dress she was wearing.
I'm at the age where I know I need to get my oil changed. So I'm not going to try to. There's cancer in the tubes in my family, and I know it's
that's
time.
Not what this was.
I don't know.
That's what it was said.
I don't know all the all context, right. But
the news
that
is
doesn't
saying,
bother me. That doesn't bother me. Now, if I see fans, if I see signs in the arena, I don't care. I don't fucking care. You're right. I got Joe winning.
But I'm saying all that because Joe's winning, because I bet fucking Vince would be like, oh, we're not going to have that fucking gay shit on our fucking product. You know what? He's not going to get his push after all. And, man, that fucking sucks.
Wait, you mean he didn't have sex on a belt? Oh, then we can't work with him.
Yeah.
A goddamn foul.
That's the fucking double standard right there. That's that fucking toxic masculinity. It's like, okay, well, at least Paige and Xavier, they're straight, so it's fine. But the dude checking in his own oil.
Hi there.
We're gonna de-push him. And I hope they don't de-push him. I hope that's not the case, because
Ricochet likes to push him, apparently.
If we take all of this away, if this didn't happen, if I didn't know about this, like I said, I could be at a 9.5 because I could be surprised. But now, I don't think that surprise is happening. I think Vince is not going to push him. I think they're going to be like, oh, what? He did what? Fuck that. And like, that's it. And that's fucking sad. But yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, because you know the one rule of Vince McMahon, he doesn't want you getting over on your own.
God damn it.
If Ricochet still wants that push, he could talk to Pat Patterson. He'll help him out with that.
Oh, come on. All right. You're done. It's fucking Pride Month, man.
Exactly. So don't de-push him.
There you go. All right.
Triple threat. Tozawa, Gulak. Nice for the cruiserweight title on paper, because I'm pretty sure you haven't been watching.
I didn't watch it 205 on paper, 8.5.
I'm also at 8,
just on paper. Yeah. I don't know the context.
Is it time right now? It's been since WrestleMania. Is it time for Nice to drop the belt already, or keep it on him for a bit longer?
And so he would be dropping it to Gulak, who would be a 2-time champ,
or to
Tozawa, who hasn't had the championship before.
Backwards, Tozawa, I think, has had the championship, Gulak hasn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Gulak hasn't?
No, he hasn't.
Okay, fuck it. Drop it to Gulak.
Ha ha! Gabba gabba! I've got Nice retaining this, and I'm also at an 8. Let's get it over with, man. McIntyre against Reigns. Do you have any fucks to give about this?
I do. I'm at about a 7.
Okay.
I think that's mostly for McIntyre because I want McIntyre to have more than what he has now. And I'm afraid that over the course of the last month where he's been a lackey for Shane, I hope that he doesn't stagnate and stay a lackey. Because there's that fear that he's going to be Orlando Jordan JBL kind of thing. Where like JBL is a star, Shane is a star, Orlando Jordan is his lackey, and then who the fuck's Orlando Jordan?
But then, Orlando had the U.S. strap for a bit while JBL was number one.
But the other side of that coin is, well, this isn't an active wrestler in Shane. This is more like the corporation. And remember, the corporation had The Rock in their back pocket for a long time. And sure, The Rock was the corporate lackey for a while. But then eventually, he was the fucking Rock. Mm-hmm. So if you have to play this role for a little bit, I get it. But I also am... Drew's character doesn't seem to vibe with lackiness very well. Like, he should be this, like, super tough guy, don't give no fucks, I'm going to beat people up, and I'm not going to say yes or to the authority figure.
You know what?
Eventually, that turn is going to come, and we're going to be interested in that turn.
I agree with you. I would have agreed with you up until last Monday.
Okay.
Because he showed me a side that I don't think I ever saw him have in WWE the first time or even in TNA. That moment where Shane threw out fucking Heath Slater and Drew's like kind of dejected a bit. Like he doesn't know if the brainwashing's sticking or not. He's like, wait, but that used to be my friend. And he goes out in the locker room, he goes out in the hallway and talks to Heath, like, hey man, I didn't know you were in this. We go back, bro. If you just told me you needed help. Pull me aside and he what you need, how much you need, and breaks out the money and he drops the money and then he beats the shit out of him. But that moment where you saw like a human side of McIntyre and then like the villainous side of McIntyre, I think that's gonna pay off to the point where later on where the human side comes out, not in defense of Shane but against Shane, that might be the thing that pushes him to that thing that he was missing this entire time in WWE or in Impact.
And please don't get me wrong. Don't say that I'm looking forward to a Shane versus Drew feud. No, I'm looking forward to
the payoff.
I'm looking forward to Drew breaking off of Shane and having that turn where it doesn't even necessarily have to be a face turn. It just has to be a turn where he's like, I'm more powerful than I thought I was, and I'm going to take over the world, you know, and eventually just like not be anybody's lackey. So that's what I'm looking forward to with him. Now, in the context of this match with Roman, I think now more so than ever, I want to like Roman. But it's not I want to like Roman because I think he's a likable guy. It's I want to like Roman because I don't want to be the asshole that is going to mercilessly boo a cancer survivor, you know?
And like that, whatever goodwill that garnered, it's gone.
It's already wore off, and that sucks, man, because it's fucking leukemia. Like, leukemia couldn't get this guy over. Like, and I don't want to, like, fucking shit all over the guy, but the booking that they're doing with him is like, dudes, go, your brother, fucking Dean or Moxley, whatever. He saw the light, brother. Can you see the light just like how he did? Please see the light, man. You're more creative than this, right? You are, right? Are you? I don't know. Maybe you need a writer. Maybe you're not that creative.
Maybe he needs a writer.
I don't know, but dude, you're fucking milquetoast bland, you know? And like, you shouldn't be milquetoast bland, dude. You share genes with The Rock. You have blood in this. You have this business in your blood. You should be charismatic. I mean, shit, man. The Usos have more character than you. You know, and like, you can't bring out some character. You can't change out of the All Black. You can't change something up. You're just the big dog again after leukemia. Like, do something. It's like I'm poking you with a stick. Come on, man. Do something.
It's dead.
And like,
it's dead. I'm at like a 4 for this. I'm at a four because I'm being led to believe that Roman's going to win again.
Oh, man. I don't want Roman really to win this.
Suck for McIntyre. I want McIntyre to win. I'm picking McIntyre to win, but goddamn, it wouldn't shock me if Roman wins again, if Roman beats McIntyre.
Yeah, because Roman's got to beat McIntyre so that he gets his match with Shane, because the payoff is him versus Shane. Because he's already blown through Elias, who's his other lackey, Shane's other lackey. So he's going up the mini bosses, and then there's the final boss, and the final boss is Shane McMahon. Blech. Shane McMahon.
On a sidebar, can we kill the brand split already? Can we just make it official? Like, it was full Super Show, Raw Super Show, and Super SmackDown these last 2 days.
Oh, yeah, the New Day. Oh, well, we're not wild cards. Because I'm the WWE champ, I can show up whenever. That's not how the wild card works. No. And I bring these guys with me wherever I go because they're my guys. Like, that's not how the wild card works. You were a wild card several weeks ago.
Yes.
You were several weeks in a row.
You announced it when you first showed up.
Because of you, the
wild card.
You are a wild card. The title, and, no. Like, now you're not because – and, you know, Kofi, I love you, Kofi. I love the New Day. That's some heel ass shit to say. Oh, I'll just show up wherever I want because I'm the champ. Like, okay. It's kind of a dick move, but okay. Like,
oh, we're gonna talk about dick moves and let's go to the Universal title match because my anticipation for that's about a four also. Tell me the last time
I'm sorry. Randy in the live chat says I'm bored of both Reigns and McIntyre. Double count out just so they both lose.
Tell me the last time WWE has had a good heel-on-heel match.
Oh, God. I might have to go back to the 90s for this.
Yes. Because I'm after Raw, I'm trying to figure out who's the heel here. Because I could not get used to La Parca. I mean, I'm sorry. I couldn't get used to Seth Rollins with the chair all night. Just and then whacking people with it from behind. Stalker shit. Like
on faces. Know, Eric Young is on a heel.
We go back, Eric. Don't worry, man. I'm not gonna do anything to you. And then he turns around and Seth's like he's gonna hit, like he's breaking up the shield again. It was not clicking at all.
Eric's like delivery and all that was so innocent. All of my sympathy was for Eric Young at that point because we saw him say, "I think about it," and then when he was like, "Hey, I told him I was thinking about it. I'm not really gonna take it, you know, because we go back. I don't want to have beef with you, you know." Okay, cool. Like there was no fucking malicious intent behind those eyes. There was nothing me saying. Telling me that he was actually lying and he really is going to be the referee so he can screw. No, man. Like, yeah. This fucking, like, oh, man. It didn't work with Seth, man.
I guess it was Knockout former Impact Champions night because he wiped out Eric. And then EC3 comes out to referee a match that had nothing to do with Seth. And then Seth came out and killed him anyway. Just for the New Day to go weekend at Burnsies on him. And
that just was funny. Carry,
which they, that saved the segment, but goddamn, dude. It just
EC3.
I'm not,
bro. EC3. He's being wasted right now with his role or lack thereof in WWE. EC3's being wasted, man. You had a fucking gold mine, not only with his actual talent and charisma, but you could have built on the fact that he is Ethan Carter III. You've already acknowledge who the fuck Dixie Carter is. You've had Dixie Carter on the fucking show. You've had her on the network. You said, hey, this was a chick that used to run Impact when AJ was around. Remember AJ? This was like, you could have fucking went with that, even if it was just for a minute, but you don't even call him Ethan Carter III. You just call him EC3 for no reason. Like, If you've only watched WWE, you have no idea why this guy goes by initials.
If you ask, the commentary will tell you that's the formula for success. E plus C equals 3. It's like, no, that's not how that
is. Okay, but what does E stand for? Energy plus
come.
Times See, here, 3.
Here's the problem with EC3, and it all comes down to timing. EC3 was a...
Seth he is was becoming a, the Mad King Slayer.
He was a medium fish... In a medium pond that was getting bigger in NXT, because you brought in Nakamura, you brought in Matt Riddle, you brought in Undisputed Era, you brought in Samoa Joe, you brought in all these indie darlings. Mm-hmm. And then that medium fish that was in the medium pond is now a medium fish in fucking SeaWorld. There's no animal rights in SeaWorld. You're just there. You're the puppet. And then you do what you train, and you don't pull any ponytails. You don't eat any humans. And that's what you do until you die. That's what happens to you at SeaWorld if you're a fish in SeaWorld. And that's what happened with EC3. He has no creative freedom. There's no explanation. You're not gonna have the opportunity to perform the talents that you're good at because you're not in front of an audience of indie fans. And you're in front of an audience of one. When you're in front of the audience of one and the old man says, "Well, goddamn, pal, you just do what I tell you, or fuck your. You'll stay here for 5 years and get peanuts because you're not going to AEW." That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So his best bet is to go back to NXT like about four or five other people have done over the last couple of weeks and bring back your relevance and actually establish a fucking third brand.
You say EC3 is a medium fish in a medium-sized pond down in NXT. You could have had him be a big fish in NXT and even in fucking main roster if you fed the goddamn fish. Bro, like, you are missing so much. His comedic timing is great. When he's not being a comedy act, he's really good at just being an intense douchebag asshole that you would love to hate. And he's got the look.
He's got his buddy there, too.
Yeah. You could, man. All right. So it was funny. It was funny. Drake Maverick dressed up as Carmella, and then the boobs fell out, and there were actual boob prosthetics with fucking nipples and everything. That was funny. But, you could have fucking had more goofy ass. Like, it's bad that he's getting more of a push than EC3. When you could have had them together with that fucking brilliant comedic fucking back and forth chemistry that they have. And
they're kind of still teasing it with that elevator segment where they're talking about Drake Maverick's about to get married at EC3.
My best friend. Yeah.
Yeah. So we might still get that later, but right now. Like, we're not at enjoy the hamburger stage. We're still at processing the meat at the factory stage.
Yeah.
You know? God damn, dude. I'm I don't know what's going on with the character development on Raw, man. I think it's like they're going too extreme on both sides. Before this last week, the one pet peeve that I've had about Seth Rollins that ruined my believability in him was the segments that he was in the ring. So Brock Lesnar comes out, big huffing and puffing, mean-ass promo. Seth, you're a little bitch. Becky's the man in the relationship. Are you not worthy of me? Bah, 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 bah. Burn it down. Here comes Seth Rollins. His music is playing. He's doing his little strut. He's walking down to the ring, and he's looking at Brock Lesnar, and he gets in the ring like he's about to beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar, and then he walks past Brock Lesnar. He turns his back to Brock Lesnar. He bends over in front of Brock Lesnar to grab a microphone. And then he struts back around to look at Brock Lesnar. And just like that episode of South Park, just gets on the microphone and 15 minutes of blah, blah, blah. That's what the South Park ruined it for me. Like, every time there, so when you're having an episode of Raw that's 45 minutes of talking before you get into your first match, or you're having moments like that with Seth that I'm losing the credibility. Oh, no, man, I can't hear. So instead of turning the volume up to 7 to see if you hear, now we're turning it up to 14. And now Seth's a fucking rabid killer from behind with a steel chair because apparently he needs a steel chair even though he beat Brock Lesnar already for the title. And he's already beaten Corbin defending his title. But now he needs a fucking chair because, you know, I'm a badass, remember? I'm a badass. I used to be in the Shield. I used to do this. Remember this? This is how I used to decide to dismantle the Shield.
Are we officially talking about that match now?
Yes.
Corbin versus Seth? What's your anticipation level?
4.
Mine's at like a 4. I'll agree with you there.
And it goes down by the week because of the other thing that I think is dragging this down.
Okay.
I've said this maybe a couple of years ago. I am sick of the cock tease. Pull out or come in me or they're done.
Hey, what?
Like, don't tell me, hey, Brock's cashing this week. Oh, he didn't cash this week. He might cash next week. Nah, he's not going to cash next week. Now I'm cashing it on Friday because I'm staying Friday while I beat this dude with a chair. And it didn't happen on Friday. I don't know. I've said it before, man. We need to have a Money in the Bank winner that he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't mention it. He doesn't walk around with the briefcase.
You forget about it.
Nothing. Forget about it. Make it a complete surprise for everyone when he finally decides to cash it in. The fact that they're like, it's fucking ironic, dude, that we complained, oh, man, we don't want Brock with the title because he doesn't fucking show up anymore. He's a part-timer. Every fucking day since WrestleMania, he's been on Raw.
He wasn't on Raw this past week.
Okay, he missed, Heyman, I think, he missed two Raws out of like seven. Already, he's been on more Raws than he was all of last year. In the span of 5 weeks. And now I'm already sick of it too, because I don't want to see Brock. I don't want to hear Heyman talk the same fucking promo. I want to see Brock dance with the boombox, but all this, I'm already getting worn out of it, dude.
Brock should cash in at Mania. That way he'll return the favor. Yeah. That was Hector. Randy says, you care when he cashes in? But it's Lesnar. I mean, who cares? Yeah. I'm done with Brock just doing. Oh, we're just going to blow past this. There's supposed to be a special guest referee, right?
It's Brock. It has to be.
It's got to be Brock.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, who else is it going to be? It's not going to be fucking Shelton Benjamin or Matt Hardy.
No. Senor Benjamin.
Oh, Senor Benjamin.
Senor Benjamin. I don't care who wins this match, to be honest. Like, I'm already like.
Oh, it's Seth. Seth is a drop in the belt to Corbin. It's Seth. The feud isn't even with fucking Corbin. The feud's with Brock. The reason why he's doing all this fucking scorched earth shit is because of Brock. It has nothing to do with fucking Corbin. Corbin's the placeholder for a feud that's been ongoing that doesn't actually have a match right now, which is Brock versus Seth.
Yeah.
The same way how the feud isn't really Roman versus Drew, it's really Roman versus fucking Shano. Did I make you a little bit more depressed?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So another heel on heel match, Bayley against Alexa for the SmackDown Women's title.
Oh, you're saying that's heel on heel, huh?
Regardless of how sexy Bayley's ass was looking in those pants. God damn. I've had this problem with Alexa for a little while because she, for all the charisma and the face that you just want to punch her, she has the tools to be an instant babyface. She's not. She can't ride half the fucking roller coasters in Astroworld, man. So every woman that she goes up against, she's gonna have a straight neck like this. So when Bayley looks down at Alexa, Bayley's supposed to be the face in this, and Bayley's the one costing Alexa and fucking Nikki Cross tag team title matches.
And Bayley's
throwing the first punch because man, huggers don't hug no more, man. Because y'all need to take me seriously. So I'm not gonna wait for you to tell me to hit you. I'm gonna hit you. And it's on your fucking show, on your talk show, not somebody else's. It's again, oh man, the volume's at 2. I can't hear you. Let me crank it up to 12. Can you hear me now? It's like that with the whole Bayley change. It's like, fuck, man. I'm kind of interested, but I think that, again, that's like knee jerk reaction to opinion. You know, like, oh shit, people hate it. We need to change it now. No building, no storytelling. Let's just do it now. And that's what a lot of this feels like, especially with this match. Regardless, I'm at a 7. I want to see it, but I'm guessing Bayley wins it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think the meat's going to be Alexa and Nikki.
And see, you say this is heel versus heel. I don't know if just Alexa's doing a better job of what we've seen her do, that even Bayley brought it up. It's like, hey, you did this with Mickey, you did this with Nia. I feel like she's actually being kind of genuine with this stuff with Nikki. You know, like there was always that, oh, we're waiting for the turn kind of stuff with, or they were both fucking assholes, you know, together. But here it's like, Nikki's a face. Alexa's not really a face, but I don't know if I could trust her, but I'm kind of buying it where she's genuinely empathetic for Nikki. And I'm like, okay, Does this mean that she's the face now?
Depending on how you're looking at it. If you're looking at Alexa as a heel, she doesn't want to get hurt in the ladder match. She'll get her lackey to do it. If you're looking at Alexa as a face, man, Alexa can't go. I have nothing to prove because I've already been Money in the Bank winner. You're my new friend. I want to show my appreciation to you. Take my spot. Hopefully you win the briefcase.
Yeah. So it depends how you look at it. That writing, if it's writing or if it's just the talent of Alexa herself, it's coming off like I'm buying what she's selling to Nikki.
Yeah.
And I'm a little confused because I'm supposed to not like Alexa.
Or maybe Nikki goes crazy on Alexa because she knows Alexa's history. And in turn, Alexa becomes a babyface out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I could see Nikki the one turning on Alexa, and Alexa's like, what the fuck? The one time I was actually being genuine is the time that they bite me in the ass. Mm-hmm. So, and then she winds up being the face. Nikki goes full on crazy heel, and Bailey's the heel. I don't know.
Who you got? What's your anticipation for this match?
I'm actually a little bit more intrigued in this because of all that. I'm going with the 7.
Yeah.
Me too. I wouldn't be surprised if Alexa wins it just to stir the pot. So I'm going to go with Alexa.
I'm picking Bailey, but I wouldn't be upset either way with the outcome.
Robert says, I'm betting Sasha returns and turns on Bailey.
Ooh.
Okay. Hector says, what if the turn comes from Nikki Cross? Yeah, Hector, yeah, exactly. We're on the same brainwave here.
However.
But Robert said this about the referee thing. I bet Mojo is going to be the special guest referee. No.
However.
1, 2, 4.
I am at an 8
okay.
for the rematch between Becky and Lacey Evans.
What turned you around? Because I feel like you were probably hovering a little bit lower. Now you're at an 8. Am I wrong?
I was at a 7 or an 8 the last time, mostly for Becky.
Okay.
Because this was before Becky lost the belt. She was still Becky 2 belts then.
Right.
So I was at an 8. I'm at a 7. Now I'm at an 8 also. But, dude, Lacey's the one that's turning me around. Her heel.
I agree.
This isn't me cheering the bad guy because I think the bad guy is cool. I'm booing the bad guy because the bad guy is doing a very good job of being the character she's supposed to be. That's another one. If I was a woman, I would make an effort to punch her in the mouth.
Yeah.
Like her reach. The only thing that keeps me back a bit, and it recently happened, if you're pushing Lacey Evans as a heel, why
don't say, oh, I was a Marine.
Why now? Why now? Mention that.
Like, you're a fucking bitch, but thank you for your service. Like, yeah. That was one thing that
I'm waiting for the promo where Lacey Evans is like, oh, you hate me? You must not support the troops.
Oh, shit.
And then Becky's like, oh, support the troops, huh? Hey, troops, look how good your future's going to be because they're not going to support you when you're a veteran. You're going to be sleeping under the freeway. So it's –
goddamn.
It's fucking weird how they – that's how odd that whole thing was.
Or like,
why now?
Or like Becky could be like, okay, I'm from another country. I don't give a shit about your military. Which would have been an asshole thing to say too.
Like, you tell your leader, Z Heil, I don't care. Yeah. But however, this match – Lacey's the one that's holding it for me, and I am picking Lacey to win this.
Really? Becky no belts.
I think they've done two. So it's twofold. I think I'm at the point where I'm ready to check out for Becky. It's twofold. Number one, last pay-per-view where the man lost the belt to the Flair. You know, you don't do that. You can't keep your man status if you lose to another girl that's been claiming to be the man before you decided to become popular.
Yeah.
And number two,
Lacey's going to be in the next Marine movie. Shit. Thanks, Robert. Would it be Marine 7? That's where they're at now?
8.
8? Goddamn.
I'm going to channel my inner Randy feminist.
Oh, you're hearing that, Randy?
Becky's secondary. Because now it's like, oh, look how cute Becky and Seth look together. Duh. We don't care about Becky as a wrestler anymore. We care about Becky as Seth's girl. when they posted these pictures of them at the Video Movie Awards kissing on the red carpet, that moment on Raw backstage where they're walking by and Becky's like, you know, I'm going to get that dick before I go to sleep tonight, right? And that, like, that's no longer Becky the pro wrestler. It's Becky the girlfriend. And that's a fucking waste.
Oh.
That you just had this fucking moment that Becky won the two belts. She main evented WrestleMania. You have her all the way up here. What I say earlier, the higher the pedestal you get put up, the farther the fall. And she's almost hitting the bottom. And I think, and her dropping the belt to Lacey, that's it. She's going to wind up being the tool. Brock Lesnar's going to beat her up to get over the feud with Seth. She's secondary. She's secondary now in the women's division, and now she's going to be secondary on the fucking company because she's going to be beneath Seth because of this whole relationship angle.
I
hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I can see what you're telegraphing. And that can happen. I don't think it's happened yet. I actually like the fact that they're acknowledging this relationship because it's the polar opposite of the bullshit that they did with Renee and Dean. Oh, we're on fucking Total Divas and look, oh, they're together, they're husband and wife. But on the fucking show, no, there was no mention at all. But then when there was a mention, it was, hey, Corey, hey, you know, what the hell's going on with your husband? I don't know, he's my husband, but at least here they're acknowledging it. Now, did it go that far that you think it's gonna go? I don't think they've gone that far yet where Becky is subsidiary to fucking Seth. I don't think they're there yet. The fact that she looked at him, they gave a little cutesy, oh, I'm gonna get that D later. Like, I don't think that invalidates what she's made so far. Now, if that does happen, where knowing she WWE's loses,
track record.
I get you. But if that does happen where she loses to Lacey and then she starts that descent, then okay, you're right predictively. But currently in the present, I don't feel that way. Okay. Not yet. Can it happen? It could. I hope it doesn't because I don't want Becky to be Seth's girl.
Fuck
that's
it.
That'd be terrible.
Heyman cost Becky the match. And they bring
just
back
to fuck with the heart of Seth.
They bring back Ronda as Heyman as a Paul Heyman woman.
Oh no!
And we get Brock and Ronda against Seth and Seth.
Okay, if it's because he's representing Ronda, that's different. But if he's just doing it to pull at the heartstrings of Seth, then yeah, she's just an object, mm-hmm. you know. But if it's doing it to set up between her and Ronda, it's different. I don't know. Randy says Chris has a point.
I knew it.
Thank you, baby.
Brian and Rowan against Heavy Machinery. How many fucks do you have to give?
Five?
Okay. I'm at a five? Brian's winning. They're in Washington. This pay-per-view's in Tacoma, like down the street from Aberdeen.
No. They're losing.
They're losing?
They're losing to Heavy Machinery.
Is that why they didn't convert the belts to hemp?
That's exactly why they didn't convert the belts to hemp. I like the idea of them staying as a tag team, but they're not really a tag team.
No.
It's Brian and his lackey. You know, Brian and Rowan are not on the same level.
You had an opportunity to give us a decent match of the week candidate with Brian and Rollins. I don't know what
that was my match of the week. Fuck it.
I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with that whole running schmoz halfway through and then
restarting the match.
I didn't get it.
The match after the schmoz was nice.
I didn't get it.
It's my match.
And it was the finish was random too. Yeah. Like I wasn't built to that either. It was like, that's a waste. In LA, WWE sells out almost every time in LA. I've been in LA for some events there. And the fact that the entire top level was carpeted off and tapered off, dude, the storylines or the lack of interest in storylines, the lack of ticket sales for Stomping Ground compared to the sellouts for AEW. And New Japan ticket sales, yeah, man, it's not working. Whatever they're doing right now, it's as a whole is not working, because that Staples Center was empty.
Damn,
man. What were we talking about? Yeah, it's Brian and Rowan. I've got Brian and Rowan retaining. I don't know.
I think Heavy Machinery. I think they're actually going to put it on a real tag team, because remember that moment that Heavy Machinery had with the Vikings and the AOP, and AOP was back on Raw. They were backstage without
Drake Maverick is, I guess, doing his thing with the comedy shit.
And 205 still.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, I'm glad they're kind of breaking them up. Maybe it's time to get back to actual tag division, you know, and start doing tag shit. I hope so. Because you could do way more with Brian, especially with a lackey.
Tell me if you've seen this match before, Zayn and Owens against Big E and Xavier Woods.
I think I have.
What's your anticipation?
This hurts to say.
I'm at a zero.
I'm at a four.
Who you got winning?
The heels.
Okay.
Why not? I it doesn't really matter who wins.
What have we not talked about? How about the main event?
Did we not talk about Kofi versus Ziggler?
That's the main event.
Oh, shit. Okay. Whoops.
Steel cage match.
Wait, the main event isn't the Universal title? Well, it might be.
No, I've got $5. The main event's fucking Reigns and McIntyre. Kofi Kingston versus McIntyre. Kofi Kingston against Dolph Ziggler inside a steel cage.
That's your main event.
That's right? My main event.
Okay.
Nine. Their match.
I'm at a nine.
Their match in Saudi was good.
It was good.
You know, it might have. I'm gonna get a lot of heat for saying this. It had a little bit of HBK Taker syndrome to it, where I might think that match is better than it was because the rest of the show was shit.
Oh, that is a hot take, sir. So wait, if we go back to WrestleMania 25 is what we're talking about, that match was only that good.
Was better than what it was, overhyped. Exactly.
Everything else on WrestleMania 25 was shit. Wow, okay.
That match of Super Showdown might have been the match of the night because everything else was...
Okay.
You know what? To keep the rivalry going, even if it's just for a night or for a week or for the next pay-per-view that's happening in 2 weeks. I don't know if it's happening in 2 weeks. I'm just assuming because that's what WWE does.
SummerSlam? No, nah, that's in a month or two.
It's Extreme Rules. Oh. Give it to Ziggler. Give it to Ziggler by cheat, you know. Dude, have Kevin Owens fuck it up, you know, because Kevin Owens was talking shit to Kofi that there's unfinished business because Kevin Owens didn't go to Saudi because he didn't want to, because he was supporting his
best friend. And then it winds up being a three-way.
And Extreme Rules three-way. And Kofi gets it back without pinning Ziggler, and then we get one more. There we go. Tell me the last bad match between Kofi and Ziggler. Because this has happened for at least 8 years.
Yeah.
At least 8 years. And every time it happens, we're like.
Match of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I kind of like that. I like the idea of Ziggler winning.
Send me the check.
My pick is that Kofi's going to win. Okay, I don't think they're going to do it. But if they did do
Kofi
it.
Kofi was undefeated since Mania.
Yeah. If they did do it, I wouldn't mind. And will the match be good? Yeah, I think it'd be good. I kind of want Ziggler to win for one small reason. I don't want Ziggler's catchphrase to be, it should have been me, for anything longer than this pay-per-view. Because that is not a catchphrase that should stick for like a long time in the annals of history. Like, this shouldn't be, do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
This isn't
one
more
match. Yeah, because that like, we got it for when he deserved one more match, but then eventually he stopped deserving one more match, but he was still saying one more match, and it started to feel sad. It didn't work. So yeah. It should have been May. It's not May anymore. It's June, so the pun doesn't work. So, stop.
Yeah.
Like, let him win it so he can stop saying it should have been me, because now it's him, and then continue the feud without the annoying chant. Or the annoying catchphrase.
So you got Kofi winning.
I got Kofi winning.
But you wouldn't mind Ziggler.
I would like it if it was Ziggler. Okay. But my official prediction is Kofi's going
to win. Overall, your anticipation for the whole Megillah?
Six?
Three. There's only two. Cage match and Joe are the only two matches I'm actually going to watch.
No, you said the girls match.
Oh, Lacey. Yeah, Lacey. I'm
Lacey
watching
and
that.
Becky.
Yeah. Those are the only three matches I'm watching.
No Finn. No Finn.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No
Finn. Scott. What's up, Scott?
Oh, shit. Scott. Some of that Great Heights Brewery beer over here, man.
Yeah, Scott the Scott from Scotland. Welcome in the live chat. He says, Big E heel turn. Big E costs Kofi, aligns himself back again with Ziggler.
Oh no.
Please don't break up the New Day. That's the one thing I'm asking. I want
you New want Day me to over on that. That New- if there's one team that deserves not to break up, but just like, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. It's New Day.
Not even that. They don't even have to say I love you, but I'm not in love with you. It's just, hey, I love you. You're my brother. I'm doing this. You're fighting for that. Go, cool.
Yeah.
And they'll always be cool. They'll always be cool.
That would have been a good example of a wild card rule, where you have New Day on Raw and you have New Day on SmackDown just doing their own shit. And then you bring them back at every pay-per-view for like the Pancake and Syrup Festival, you know, just so that you get
yeah. It's like the band's back together, guys. Yeah. Oh yeah, and then they have a big fucking pancake orgy.
So you said
I need some Bray Wyatt in my life. We've had a few mentions here in the live chat about the Firefly Funhouse.
Who's fighting first? Because there seems to be, and that's another issue I'm about to point out.
Okay.
I think the, and again, the oversaturation of the Firefly Funhouse is not a bad thing, but it's coming at an expense of something else. Because Raw obviously have been hitting home runs, damn near grand slams with the Firefly Funhouse on Raw.
SmackDown is just the repeat. It's the highlights.
But they had something else that I think the Funhouse is overshadowing. Mm-hmm. And it was the backstage promos of Aleister Black. Because those two, the promos sound like it's two sides of the same coin. Bray Wyatt.
I think you've said this.
Bray before. Wyatt, all you have to do is let me in. Aleister Black.
Someone comes knocking at the door.
I'm waiting for someone to come to my door.
Holy shit! Somebody wants somebody to knock at the door. The other one's saying, hey, want to knock at your door? Let me in. Oh my God, you just put those puzzle pieces together.
Is that why they're showing Bray on Raw and SmackDown? So that if Bray shows up on SmackDown to feud with Black, they'll get the viewers? Because if Bray's a Raw guy, they should only be showing these promos on Raw. The last month, it felt like the first hour of SmackDown was the fourth hour of Raw. And that's why I'm asking to kill this brand split already. Just admit it. You fucked up. It's at the expense of all the talent that's chasing that fucking 24/7 belt, because you're not going to make time for them to have actual matches because you're too busy giving 3 segments to Shane on Raw, 2 segments to Roman on SmackDown.
2 segments to Miz.
Yeah. But where's the development for EY? Where's the development for EC3? Where is an actual match in the fucking ring for the 24/7 title? Like, it's not working. It's not working. Just call the spade a spade.
Everybody's talking about how this shit just blew everybody's mind in here with the Robert Medlin, the Hector. Chris just blew my mind.
So who fights first? Does Bray Wyatt... does somebody walk into does Bray Wyatt walk into somebody's life, or does somebody walk into Aleister's life? Who's wrestling first?
Aleister's waiting for somebody to knock on the door. Bray says, "Let me in when I knock."
Who's having the match first?
Their match first is going to be with each other.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to get promos.
That's going to be interesting.
We're going to get promos. You know, Bray Wyatt finally comes out and says, "All you got to do is let me in, Aleister." And then, and there you go. God damn, I hope that happens. I am so erect for that right now. Holy shit. That'd be cool.
I didn't know my table had a fifth leg there.
Yep.
Is your match of the week, whatever that was between Brian and Rollins from Raw?
Where's Nakamura and Rusev? I don't know. What did you say?
What is your match of the week? Rollins versus D-Bro?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so I'm gonna cheat since we haven't been on the air since the preview show for
Saudi.
For Saudi, there was another show that we previewed that episode.
Ooh. And
I wanted to get the listeners' take on it because I'm sure you haven't seen this. My retroactive match of the week pick is Will Ospreay beating Dragon Lee for the junior heavyweight title in IWGP. Ooh. And a part of me was thinking that might have been as good, if not better, than the match that we put on our match of the year against Shingo Takagi. Yeah, because dude, those guys are best friends. They have chemistry with each other. The spot that I showed you in the chat where fucking Ospreay's sitting on the rail and Dragon Lee torpedoes through and they end up in like the fifth row. That was
crazy.
There was stuff there.
It wasn't just that spot then.
There was more.
Okay.
There was more. And not only that, there was stuff that Ospreay didn't do that they could be saving for later now that Ospreay's the champion. And so if there's anybody out there that thinks that if Will Ospreay versus Dragon Lee is better than Ospreay versus Takagi, I can get this guy to watch it and maybe we can come up with something. But that match stood out for me among a lot of other things that happened on that show. Kenta, Moxley, both were announced that they're in the G1 tournament.
Ooh.
To the point that even Jericho was threatening that he wanted in.
Fucking Jericho.
Yeah. One guy that's out is Minoru Suzuki, and he's pissed as fuck that he is not in this tournament. And I'm leading to believe that night one in Dallas, we're supposed to get Will Ospreay against Lance Archer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing Suzuki beats the ever-loving fuck out that fool and takes Archer's place, and we get Ospreay versus fucking Suzuki.
Now, that doesn't seem very New Japan-y. I mean, would Japan have the kind of booking, sports entertainy shit, where, oh, I'm going to wrestle, oh, I get jumped, and, okay, well, the guy that did the jumping gets in the match. That doesn't seem something New Japan-ish.
I honestly don't see the appeal in Lance Archer now that Davey Boy's gone.
Oh, like, shit. Like,
Archer as a singles competitor? No. I'm just speaking for myself. The needle's not moving up if you're telling me that there's that Lance Archer is in this tournament. If you're telling me Minoru's in this tournament instead of him, you know. So night one in Dallas, the little teaser for the next episode. Our next episode in 2 weeks is gonna be our New Japan special edition.
Wait, say that again.
Special edition. Yeah, okay. New Japan G1 tournament. so far we have.
Only if we knew somebody that talked a lot about fucking New Japan and actually followed the product as much as you do, not more,
and had their car fixed.
Yeah.
The highlights of night one. Up to now, Will Ospreay's wrestling Lance Archer.
Lance Archer is in Suzuki Gun with Suzuki, says Hector.
Well, you heard something now. Back to
he just blew a big ass hole in your theory.
Back to back main event. We have Kota Ibushi against Kenta.
Ibushi versus Kenta. Okay, cool. I can dig that.
And the Americans are finally going to get on America, Okada versus Tanahashi.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. Cool. That's gonna be very cool.
There's also a 6-man tag, which will mark the last match in the U.S. for Jushin Thunder Liger.
You know what's not gonna happen in the U.S.? The United States title isn't gonna be fought or defended in the United States.
Or the wrestler is not gonna compete. I didn't really think about that until I told you what the situation was.
I get it, but it's also kind of a weird look. Like, okay, all Elite says, hey, you can't wrestle in the States, and being Moxley, you can't wrestle in the States for another promotion.
For the competition. AEW considers New Japan competition because Moxley's taking indie bookings everywhere. He's now a member from Primetime Appearances with our.
He's
a new guy for him.
Okay, cool.
So he's taking indie bookings, and Moxley's wrestling Pentagon in New Jersey somewhere. Yeah. In this summer. So he's out there. He's getting his.
But he can't wrestle for like Japan.
Impact or MLW or a competing company in the United States that has
program or whatever. So he can wrestle overseas for New Japan. He just can't wrestle on American soil, which is kind of awkward considering he's the United States champion. Yeah. Oops. That kind of sucks, but I get it. But that's kind of stupid too. Yeah. But yeah, all right, whatever. Hey, we have a dissenter amongst our ranks this week for what should be match of the week.
Robert Medley, my match of the week. Jack Gallagher versus Gable on 205 Live.
Oh, Gable debuted last week, I think. I heard that. I heard that was some good stuff there.
Hector says Dragon Lee versus Ospreay is a match of the year candidate. Well, you know what, Hector?
Is it better than Ospreay versus Takagi? You can talk to – we'll talk about that later. But I need to watch that. I mean, the thing that irks me about this whole, like, wild card shit and everybody moving around is that it's not permanent. Like, for example, Tyler Breeze went to NXT. He had his match with Velveteen. Apparently, he's back on the roster full-time. Maybe, because he might show up on main event or he might show up to job to somebody on the because that's what they do. Fandango's back. He's teaming up with him in NXT again.
What about Breeze and – oh, Breeze and Fandango?
Yeah, they're going to team up together. Apollo Crews in the recent tapings went back down there to wrestle Kushida.
Ooh. I need to start getting back on the NXT train.
This last – not today's episode of NXT, but last week's episode of NXT was taped at a house show. So there's actually an actual audience besides Full Sail or a takeover taping of people. So
like real people?
Yeah, like humans. So like I'm wondering this house show this Friday at Revention, if they're going to have cameras, if they might actually tape some of this shit. Because NXT's coming this week.
Are you going?
Apparently I am.
Apparently? Okay, I'm not because I'm broke as fuck.
Well, I'm not, but I didn't want to spend money on that show. Scott the Scott. I got some tickets. I found some spares.
Oh, your sugar daddy got you some tickets. Fucking Scott.
I hooked him up with some Metallica. He slides some NXT under the table. You know, we get things done.
Some more stuff's getting slid under the table. Scott says, yes, he's going.
then we smuggled Travis out of a port for New Japan.
Oh, I see. Know? Yes, yes.
That's Travis about the Spank Through Motel.
Oh, what? Hold on. Has Ricochet been there? Robert says he's going on Friday. He's going.
All right. I'll see you out there. I hate to – we're not going to end the show on a downer, but this wrap-up segment's kind of a downer because Scarlett Bordeaux's had a hell of a week, bro.
All right. What the fuck is going on with Scarlett?
She was interviewed by somebody or something, and she admitted that Impact told her that because she gets paid per event or per showing, that instead of trying to ask for a – I don't know if she asked for a raise, but they told her that she's going to need a second job for income. Like, she still stays with her parents or something.
Okay.
You know, and that information leaked that there's a lot of guys that are having to work a lot of indie bookings or having to do something else on the side to supplement whatever Impact calls an income as a primary income. So when you're living – like, if you're – like, if you grow up watching Bret Hart matches and you wind up going to Booker T school and you're actually working in the indies and you're in a company that has a television deal of sorts and is a touring brand of sorts and has merchandise of sorts, and they tell you, hey, you'll need another job besides this one if you want to live. That's kind of demeaning, right?
Yeah, a little demoralizing.
Yeah, so if
having you could pay me not enough for me to live, but just don't tell me that you're paying me not enough to live. Don't tell me, hey, you need to go get another job.
So not only does she need a second job, I guess she needs a first one because she just got let go yesterday from Impact.
Why did she get let go? Did she get let go or did she
I have no quit? Idea.
Did she walk out?
I have no idea because I think she was under contract.
Like, did she get let go because this leaked and they were possibly. Like, oh, fuck that bitch. You're telling
because her business. Her and her boyfriend, which I'm not sure if you knew this, Killer Cross.
I didn't know that was her boyfriend.
They both asked for their release.
And so they asked for their release.
And they're not giving it to Killer Cross, but Scarlett did get her release. How much of that
so was she didn't get fired. She asked for her release. Right? I mean, am I misunderstanding this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or is that the worst thing that could happen? Or is
Porsche says she said she wanted to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So losing a job is worse or getting felt up by a drunk Mexican at a show worse?
God damn it.
Because you told me you saw this video.
I saw the video.
Explain.
So she was outside the ring. Her opponent did something to her because that's where the clip starts. So the opponent did something to her. She has her back up against the barricade. She's selling. So this drunk Mexican in the front row grabs her by the right arm, pulls her towards the barricade back first, and then just kind of rubs up and down her body. And she's still selling whatever the offense was of the other wrestler. So she's like, oh. And then, oh, what? And then that's when the other wrestler kind of intervenes and, like, gets in there. But, yeah, that Mexican grabbed her, pulled her towards the barricade, and felt her up a little. So that's kind of fucked up, I'd say.
That demands justice.
Yeah.
That dude needs to get the fuck beat out of him.
Yeah,
you would think the internet doesn't reach Mexico, because he would have learned his lesson if he would have seen what happened at I forget what the name of the indie show was, but there was a fan that was heckling the Samoan werewolf.
Yeah,
he came around the barricade, and
he got knocked the fuck out.
Don't feed the bears. Don't tease the bears. The bear gonna fuck you up. Yeah. And the Samoan werewolf beat the ever loving shit out of him. He's lucky he hit him in the direction of the fans, because if he was hitting him towards the direction of the ring, everybody would have got their lick like a tootsie pop.
Yeah, damn, he got that.
And the Usos actually shared that, like, they shared that on their Twitters, like, that's what happens when you cross the line.
Yeah,
and because they're related.
Yeah,
Samoan. Where I did not know that.
All the Samoans.
Yeah.
Except for Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he's from like Philly. Eventually, everybody's gonna fuck everybody wearing the same color. Answer HWR. So apparently, WWE has a category in the ESPYs this year.
What?
Best WWE moment.
For an ESPY?
Yes, for an ESPY.
Okay. Official.
Yeah, official. Okay. Here are the candidates. You tell me who you would like to win.
Okay.
Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship for the first time at Mania 35.
That's a good one.
Becky Lynch winning both women's titles at the main event of WrestleMania 35.
That's a good one.
Ronda Rousey winning the Raw Championship for the first time last year at SummerSlam.
Eh.
Roman Reigns returning to Raw after battling leukemia.
Oh, fuck. fuck. Okay. Well, it's definitely not Ronda winning the belt. Ronda winning the belt was cool, but it's not like, oh, the best thing ever. I want to not do the Roman thing, because it's like Roman, and it's not really a wrestling thing. He came back from leukemia, so I kind of want to disqualify it, but I don't want to be that guy that says, well, that's not a wrestling thing, fuck your leukemia. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but my natural instinct is to say either the Kofi thing or the Becky thing, but I know, since it's fucking ESPN, and they're going to be passing out the ESPYs, and they're in bed with fucking Vince, it's going to be the Roman thing. But if I had to choose myself between the two Kofi or Becky two belts, Becky two belts.
Women's movement, main event, women's WrestleMania.
Main event, both of the belts. Mm-hmm. Kofi, I didn't see coming.
Beating Rousey?
Yeah, beating Rousey. Kofi, I didn't see coming. Kofi was fucking amazing, though. But I think it just edges out a little bit the fact that it was at the main event that Becky, you know. I mean, they're both at WrestleMania, so.
Just on face value, I'm picking Kofi. Not because I'm confident.
Blanca, hello.
Not because I'm confident in the Cody pick, but I'm disqualifying the rest of them.
It just sounded like you were that guy. Yeah, I guess I was that guy.
Rousey winning the title at SummerSlam. Why else did you sign Ronda? To have her like shake fans' hands at the ring? No, you signed her because of her popularity from MMA. Yeah. You wanted those viewers. You wanted that rub from real sports fans that are real sport athlete, whether it's male or female, is actually in WWE. That's why she won the belt. You gave her the belt, basically, for the attention. So that disqualifies it. Becky two belts. Her performance was awesome. Becky's popularity might have peaked at WrestleMania. But again,
remember the finish to that match was a little,
but at the expense of what? We didn't really want Charlotte in this match.
No,
we really didn't want the whole SmackDown women's division to get like flustered because of the whole thing that repercussion happened with Charlotte. So because of that, I'm calling it out. The Roman thing. Hopefully this will be the last time I speak on this. Because I don't know if anybody's mentioned this yet. If somebody gets injured and they break their neck, say somebody breaks their neck, what does WWE do? They have footage. Dr. Youngblood, Dr. Whoever, diagnosis, x-rays, everything. Them, like, there was no validity
Who was the doctors that Roman spoke to? Who was the who? Where did he get this treatment? What had, like? There's no validity. All they said was, "I gotta go. I got leukemia," and then nothing except stupid promos of Dean talking shit about Seth because Seth's gonna die like Roman's gonna die, and then Roman comes back and says, "Hey, guess what? I'm cleared to come back." Who's told you you were cleared? Is it a WWE doctor? Is it some? Is it a world-renowned clinic? Is it the fucking the medical center here in Houston? What? Where's the validity? Where's the documentation? Where's the proof that Roman did this process and went to A, B, C, D, E to come out to Z and be like, "Yay, we're ready." That's 5 weeks later. Boo! You're back. I remember why I don't like you. Blah. So for that, I'm disqualifying Roman. The only thing natural from this entire thing was the Kofi push, because I don't believe for a second, even if right now Mustafa Ali would be holding the WWE Championship, he would not be as over as Kofi is right now. Everything happened organically from the beginning. Hell, even Ali's injury was fucking organic. Everything happened. Everything happened, and it just they let it happen instead of trying to get their hands in all this shit. And Kofi fucking beat Daniel Bryan at Mania for the title. And you see all the black kids everywhere crying, just like all the Mexican kids cried for Eddie, just like the Saudi kids were crying for Mansoor. That was a legit moment.
Okay.
That is it. My pick, Kofi better win this shit. I don't want to see Becky on stage grabbing this trophy with her. Oh, the first person I want to thank is my loving boyfriend, Seth, because he just put this ring on my finger. Oh, my God. Fuck that shit. No, Kofi.
I don't see Kofi. Her doing that. She won't do that. She's not going to get up there and fucking thank fucking Seth.
Well, don't worry, because Roman, they're going to give it to Roman.
Oh, yeah, they're going to give it to Roman. Of course they're going to give it to Roman.
And then next year, Roman's going to get the Jimmy V award because he hasn't died yet. Like, so, yeah.
Got to love how you had to prove that you're sick and by almost being dead. Yeah, that's a good point, Porsche. I don't know. I don't know if I'm co-signing that. He's putting on that fucking tin hat here.
Hey, he's sick.
I don't know, man.
Hey, man, I gotta walk away from WWE because I'm sick. So I'm gonna take time to be in a movie with my cousin, The Rock, so that this time next year everyone will like me, and the people that hate me, their boos are gonna get drowned out by new people that like me because they like the movie I'm in.
I don't know, man. No. Really think it was a work? When this first happened, I had those suspicions, and then I laid them to rest. I said, I'm not going to think that it's a work. I'm going to believe it for face value, because you can't not prove it, and you can't prove it. So I'm just going to take it for face value. It's not a work. It was real.
Even the Daniel Bryan stuff through Total Divas, they showed the footage of him at these doctors.
Yeah, but on Total Divas. No. Roman's not on Total Divas.
No, that's not the point. The point was whether it was on Raw or SmackDown or on Facebook or on another show that was supposed to be about their lives outside the ring, they acknowledged that this was actually happening. There was actual validity to the situation. CAT scans, deprivation tanks, all that stuff to prove that Daniel Bryan's brain was really jello. There was nothing on WWE television or anything online to
like. Dude, maybe you just want to keep that shit private, man.
Doesn't everybody want to keep their shit private?
Man, I don't know, man.
Jake Witko, he's picking either Kofi or Becky, but he thinks Roman's going to win it. No, he wants Kofi or Becky to win.
Yeah.
Robert Medlin should be Kofi, but who are we kidding? It's going to be the big dog. Richard Brooke.
I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. Oh, new guy.
Didn't give me an answer. He said, wow, this is a tough one, especially those first three, which on the first three on the picture is Roman, Becky, and Kofi. So he's like ruling out Ronda completely.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But, yeah, man, I don't know when this is happening, but, the WWE's having their own SP. I think it's kind of cool to get more eyeballs, more opportunity to get the product out there, I guess. But
all right. So Portia calling you out, and she's like, yay, ableism. You know. And then Scott says, it's a super work. It's a work. Hector says, SP goes to Roman. Roman does the acceptance speech, cut to commercial. Hobbs and Shaw commercial, please.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. They're going to try their damnest to make sure that one way or another, we accept that Roman's the guy that's supposed to be the next Hulk Hogan, the next Steve Austin.
And they're
Dwayne Johnson, the next John Cena.
Taking it a step further than what they did with Cena. With Cena, like, well, goddamn, pal, we're just going to have him win anything. And decade later, that didn't work. So now they're saying, well, we'll just make him a movie star. We'll have him get cancer. We'll have him do this and that and whatever. Okay. Okay, maybe they're taking it a step further to shove Roman down our throat. I don't know, but I'm not gonna.
If Ronda came back on Raw 2 weeks later to say, "Hey, I'm out for the next year because I'm pregnant," and then in the next week or two or the next month, there's a follow up video and there's a sonogram and it's the baby and it's them. There's validity to Ronda saying that she's. I never got any of that.
You never got any of that with Kong. Kong, Awesome Kong. Remember she came out, she said, hey, I got to leave. And then all over the interwebs, it was, oh, she was pregnant. Oh, okay. But then we never got the sonogram. We never got this and that. We just heard like several months later. Oh, yeah. And then what was the, oh, yeah. Everybody was like, what the fuck? What the hell? And it turned out she had a miscarriage and she got depressed. But that info wasn't out there. It wasn't supposed to be out there. It never, you know, should have, quote unquote, got out there.
Devil's Maybe this advocate, is the
same kind of thing, man.
Devil's advocate. There is no way in hell that we're ever going to push karma the way they're pushing Roman Reigns.
I know, but I'm just saying that with the privacy stuff, nobody knew for the longest fucking time what was actually going on with karma. We didn't know. And like, it just kind of slowly leaked without any detail. We still don't have the full detail other than there's some sort of miscarriage. She got depressed. That's all we know. We don't know why she got the miscarriage. We don't know how. There's not a sonogram. There's not. You know, I don't
know. You got anything else?
I don't think so. Let me check the live chat here, just before, for shits and giggles. Hector, hell, even Cena says that WWE will never have a top superstar again.
Yep, I heard that.
Ever? Like, why wouldn't they ever have a top superstar
again? Cena is specifically in that interview said that there's no longer going to be – it's hard to find one person that's going to generally please everyone. Mm. So there has to be a Super Friends. There has to be a black guy. There has to be a girl. There has to be an Indian guy. There has to be – there's a mix of everything, fighting for equal share of the popularity, not one guy that's above everyone else, which –
easy to say coming from the guy that was above everyone else. Yeah, fucking Cena.
But even then, not even halfway through that career, he became part of the problem where after people like before was Dr. Thuganomics, everybody cheered him. Even the kids cheered him.
Not everybody.
Once they took some
time.
But that was an evolution.
Yeah.
But once he became Super Cena, it became a divide where, guys don't like him, but the kids like him. And then the guys are going to boom, and then they're going to turn him heel. The guys are going to cheer him, and the kids are going to boom. It's the same reaction. So yeah, he was like the last guy, and even then, he didn't go through the whole. Oh no,
that's Hector crazy. Says, well, or not Hector, but Blanca says, well, hell, at this point, I guess Hector needs to provide facts that his car wasn't working. Yeah, we never saw the fucking repair bill. We don't know what actually happened.
Oh, hold on a minute. Shit. Hold on a minute, player. Shit. We're in 2019. All I need is a VIN number, and I can go to Carfax.
But you haven't seen it. You don't know what the VIN number is, so it must not have happened. His car is running just fine. It's a work, brother. It's a work.
Do you want to come on the air next week to do a quick episode and break down Fyter Fest? Because Fyter Fest is free in the United States.
Damn it, Scott. The car wasn't working.
Fyter Fest is free in the United States.
All right.
It's $9.99 worldwide everywhere else.
Okay.
If you want to do a quick episode and go over Stomping Ground, or if not, we can wait till 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight where we break down everything in the G1 climax.
When is Fyter Fest?
Next Saturday, the 30th.
There's a big old June bug right there. All right. So this.
I hope it's a June bug and not a bee. No. Is it buzzing?
No, it's not buzzing.
It touched the Roman part of the poster and it died.
It's down there. Oh, God.
It's a ladybug. I'm not killing
you. I see your glasses. I never saw your prescription. Prove that you need glasses.
Who said that?
That was Porsche. Okay, so Fyter Fest is playing next. So not this weekend, next weekend?
You're not hard to miss, Porsche. What?
Not this weekend, next weekend?
Next weekend.
All right, so if we would do a show about that, we would do it?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday to preview that.
Otherwise, in 2 weeks, we get together.
Then that means we're doing 3 shows in a row?
Yeah. Do you want a break or no? Follow the Facebook page.
Nah.
Next week?
Well, it depends what happens with Stomping Ground.
Okay, it depends. We'll play it by ear.
We'll play it by ear.
We'll play it by ear.
I mean, because Fighter Fest isn't that big of a deal that we need to preview it, right?
Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against the Lucha Brothers and Laredo Kid.
Is this an official AEW? It's not really, right? But it
is. It's happening. It's happening during the CEO video game convention, but it's an actual card. It's an actual event. It's there's actual tickets, and it's all damn near 98% sold out. Cody Rhodes against Darby Allin.
Are you sure it's a June bug? Are you guys entomologists? Prove it.
Well, goddamn, pal, just put some wings on it and call it a bird. I don't know.
Oh, Scott says I'll do it. Tag me in.
All right.
All right. There you go.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. All right. But then we'll still need somebody to talk New Japan stuff in two weeks.
Yeah.
Only if somebody had a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without having to falsify records.
Yeah. Thoughts on Joey Janela versus Moxley. That happened?
That's gonna be a fight fest.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Then I guess it is more of a legit
A three-way tag match happening where the winner of that match gets a first round bye in the tag team tournament to declare new AEW tag champions when they go on TNT this fall.
Oh wow.
So they're going. They're chugging.
I reserve the right to say that I'll be on that episode.
Okay.
This week.
Next week.
Right, next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
I may or may not. But Scott, okay, sure, whatever. Scott the Scott. All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.